You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. We're getting an update now on the Kyle Rittenhouse case, the teenager charged with fatally shooting two people during the Kenosha protests. On August 25th, hundreds of people took to the streets to protest the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who is black. Now a judge has modified the conditions of release for Rittenhouse. How do you feel about him seen at a bar, allegedly with members of the Proud Boys? It's 800-642-1234. Bruce Velmetti covers courts and legal affairs for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bruce, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Hi, Bruce. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
So Rittenhouse turned 18 earlier this month, and he was charged, as we know, with killing two protesters, wounding a third during the civil unrest. What do we know about the original bail conditions for Rittenhouse's release?
The original bail was most notably $2 million. That's what we knew about it. And when I think people were surprised that they actually posted the bail, which of course was raised from among donors in the public. It wasn't from his own family or a single source. And when he posted it, he'd already been in jail in Kenosha, I forget, a week or two, and he was released after posting the money, and there wasn't really a big hearing to lay out a bunch of conditions. Typically, though, the typical conditions are you're not to have any contact with victims or witnesses, you're not supposed to leave the country, you know, things like that. But it wasn't really detailed and specified in a hearing like it is sometimes.
Why wasn't it spelled out in a hearing?
I'm not clear. They just didn't decide to have a hearing because he brought the money in, I believe, on a Friday afternoon, maybe even on a Saturday. And they just had the hearing, I'm sorry, the conditions, sort of the standard conditions applied for release. So when these other conditions came up, you know, they were unusual anyway. And I think if we're about to discuss like the alcohol and such, he was only 17 at the time. And I don't think anybody thought of that, make that a condition, because it wasn't really an issue at the time.
So images have surfaced of him at Pudgy's Pub in Mount Pleasant. What do we know about these images?
That's interesting. That was the afternoon of his arraignment. He had appeared via Zoom from his lawyer's office. His lawyer's office is in Racine. And after the hearing, when he made his formal entries of not guilty plea, he went to this tavern with his mother. And it was within a day or two. It was first on Twitter. Someone just posted on Twitter a picture of him with a beer and brought up the issue of what, and the T-shirt. It was really more about the T-shirt that he was wearing. And that got around on Twitter. And it wasn't until about a week later that prosecutors filed this motion to add these conditions to his bail. So really it was him being young, and I'm not sure the person who put it on Twitter realized he had turned 18 just 2 days earlier. Or maybe the person on Twitter didn't realize with his mother in Wisconsin, he was allowed to drink the beer. Doesn't look good, maybe, but that was legal. But it was the T-shirt.
And what was on the T-shirt?
The T-shirt said, "Free as..." expletive that you were saying on the radio.
How did the judge modify the conditions for Rittenhouse's bail?
Well, after this request by the prosecutors, he did add a condition that he not possess or consume alcohol, which is, again, that's a kind of a typical condition of anyone's bail. And it would also add, you know, or use illegal drugs, particularly if the case is like drunk driving or a drug case. But in this case, those weren't factors that would have normally prompted a judge to make that a condition. Plus, he was 17 at the time and no one expected him to be going to bars. The other more interesting one was that he's not to knowingly associate with anybody or any group that's involved in hate crimes or, you know, some broadly defined, I can tell you the exact language, basically don't hang out with hate groups or militias. Again, this was brought up by prosecutors based on these photographs that show him making an okay sign with these five men at the bar. And then that's obviously a sign that's now been kind of co-opted and often used by by militias and white supremacy groups. Now, Kyle's people, who are undefined, I think it's his civil lawyer, insist he had no idea that the OK sign has anything to do with white supremacy, that he didn't know these people when he went to the bar. And his lawyer said right away, he agreed to fine. We won't associate with those people because we don't anyway. So it was kind of a weird condition. He claims he never was, and he's not going to do it again, he says.
We're talking with reporter Bruce Valmetti, who covers courts and legal affairs for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's been covering the Rittenhouse case. So, Bruce, do we know at all any connections that Kyle Rittenhouse would have with white supremacist groups?
We don't. I mean, this was the, his civil lawyer has been for weeks threatening defamation suits against the Biden campaign and various people who in the early days associated him with militias and white supremacy because of the photos from that evening in Kenosha. And they've insisted all along, he's just a kid. He's not part of any group, that he doesn't even have any affinity, I would believe is their language, for such groups. They weren't able to connect him online to these groups. But the pictures are very interesting from the bar. They kind of speak for themselves. On the one hand, like I said, his lawyers insist he didn't know these guys. He didn't know what the symbol meant. Apparently, he didn't know about the song. They were also, according to prosecutors, they were serenading him with a song that is sort of the Proud Boys anthem, Proud Boys being one of the known groups, that was at the Capitol in Washington and everything. So that's his picture.
So how might these recent actions, these images, affect his case overall?
Well, according to the defense, the defense is trying to say this was a smear job by the prosecutors to even ask for this condition. It could hurt him, I suppose, if people remember that. And they do think that he was, in fact, sympathetic to or involved with these kinds of white supremacist groups. On the other hand, the publicity, even bad publicity, has been helpful to a degree to his own lawyer, this Los Angeles lawyer, who's his quote-unquote civil lawyer, who used this to kind of generate donations for the defense, donations for his mother, for living expenses, that kind of thing. That's an ongoing, evolving effort. And sometimes they use these blips of any news to try to generate more support out there among people who are sympathetic to Kyle.
And as we wrap up here, what are the next stages in his case?
Not much for a while. They're going over the discovery in the case. Since the arraignment, the prosecutors have handed over, flash drives and hard drives with all this video that we've all seen pieces of, and interviews and the usual things that prosecutors turn over, and they're going through that. The next hearing isn't until March 10th. After that, there's a jury selection date set for the end of March, although Rittenhouse's lawyer said earlier this month at the arraignment he doesn't think there's any chance that anyone would be ready to have this trial by the end of March. So I anticipate there'll be a lot of pretrial litigation for months to come.
Bruce, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Bruce Valmetti is a legal affairs reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Coming up, the primary election for the state superintendent of public instruction race is 3 weeks away. We meet the field of primary candidates, starting with Deborah Kerr of Caledonia. How do you feel about the State Department of Public Instruction? What changes do you want to DPI? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network.